getting everybody settled, go ahead and read 2 Peter chapter 1. I want you to start in verse 16. I want you to read 16 through the end of the chapter, 16 through 21. While we're getting folks settled, just read it, and then I'll read it into the record, and then we'll get started. Because of a large number of us we're church-going folks most of our lives, and we've sat and heard sermons and been in Bible classes and those kind of things for years and years and years and years. When I was reading this and preparing this lesson, I kept thinking about, it's one of those things that haunts you from the, I remember sitting and listening to people complain about the preacher, complain about the teacher. Oh, that lesson wasn't very in-depth, or that lesson wasn't very meaty. And I heard that in my head today, or this week while I was preparing this lesson, and I thought, I try and not pay attention to that, because I want us, to whatever Jesus says, let's learn it to whatever step we can learn it. And if it's shallow, let's learn it again or remember it again or study it again so we don't forget it. That's exactly what Peter's doing here. And it's not that you've ever complained. It's not that you've ever made those statements. That's just a haunting memory I have. But I want to prepare you today. Those of you who have been to church for any length of time in your life, for those of you who have been Bible students for any length of time at all, this lesson is going to cover some things that, oh, I already know that. That's right. You already know that. But Peter said it, and I'm bound by God to repeat it. We still need to remember it. Because we sometimes, those things that we know, don't hold on to them, don't remember them. And sometimes those are the very first things we let slip away and not teach our children or not teach our grandchildren. So God help us do what He said today and remember these things. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Now I want you to underline eyewitness. That's critical to understanding what He's about to say. For He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is My Son whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard that voice that came from heaven when we were with Him on the sacred mountain. Now stop just a second. Does anybody remember that story? What's the story? Do you remember? Those of you Bible readers, what's the story? We call it the Mount of Transfiguration, right? I don't know what transfiguration means, but that's what we call it. All right. Jesus is changed. He starts to glow, dazzling. White is lightning. White is the sun, depending on your version. And Peter and James and John are there watching them. Well, they're asleep when it happens. They wake up and they see Moses and Elijah with Jesus. Peter, overcome with awe. And I don't blame him at all. Overcome with awe, wants to build three little tents, three little tabernacles, three little booths to honor each one of them. Because Moses was a great man of God. Elijah was a great man of God. And he sees Jesus the same way, a great man of God. And that's when the voice of the Father spoke, "This is My Son." As if to say, "Moses, good servant. Elijah, good servant. Jesus, good son, and He's who pleases Me. Listen to Him." There's the phrase. It's found in Matthew 17, it's found in Mark chapter 9, and it's found in Luke 9. Peter heard that. He was an eyewitness to that statement. Remember that. Now look at verse 19. And we have the word of the prophets. We have the word of the prophets made more certain. Now, what word from the prophet has been made more certain? He said now he has this word he has now is even more certain than what the words of the prophets were. What word of the prophet is made more certain? That Jesus was coming. The Son of God is coming. The Messiah is coming. And it's more certain now because he's an eyewitness of it. He's heard that word. He has the word that's made more certain. And you will do well today. Look at it. You will do well to pay attention. Underline it. Circle it. Put a box around it. Star it. But log it away somewhere in your heart. This eyewitness of that moment looks at us and says, we have this word that came from God and you better pay attention until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came from the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but God, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. All right. Three things I think we need to remember. Three things I think some of us need to learn. First of all, Peter was among several people, an eyewitness to these things. All right? How important is it to have an eyewitness? It's validation. Peter didn't say, oh, I learned this from somebody. Peter didn't say, oh, I heard this. Peter didn't say, I'd really like to think this. Now, the reason I use that last phrase is because I hear it in religious circles. I hear it sometimes even in this room. When we start talking about God, when we start talking about God's will, when we start talking about the work of God in our lives, we sometimes slip into a vocabulary that says, I want to believe that God does this. I want to believe that God does that. There's nothing wrong with that, except it's that you fill in the blank. It's subjective, so it's possible to doubt it. It's possible that you shouldn't believe it. It's possible that it's wrong, that your impression of God. How many times have we, and we've said it in here, how many times you hear somebody on TV, my God would not do this or that. Well, where'd that come from? It did not come from an eyewitness, and it did not come, and somebody said Oprah, didn't they? I saw Teresa laugh. They didn't come from God. It didn't come from an eyewitness sent by God. It comes from our own reasoning. We, even those of us who've been reading the Bible forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, we got to be careful that we don't let our impression of things, we don't let our feelings about things, and by all means, we cannot let our experiences with things determine what God has to say. Now, eyewitness is the key word here. What do we know that these eyewitnesses did? All right? There's a couple of verses I need you to look at. I'm going to write it down so we don't have to keep fighting it. But I want you to look in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and then if you find John 14 real quick, find Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, all right? Now, I guarantee you that in this room, there's enough old Bible students that if I start the verse, you're going to be able to finish it. The problem is, we'll finish it without really knowing where it is and what it really says. And there's folks in here that haven't read it and heard it preached for a jillion years, so they need to see it, if not, and maybe even for the first time. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I want you to look at verse 15. John chapter 14, verse 15. Give everybody a chance to get there. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. All right, you got it? All right. Now slip down to verse 25. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the counselor, now who's the counselor? The Holy Spirit. And where is the Holy Spirit at this point? With them. Where is the Holy Spirit going to be in a couple of pages? In them. You read it, all right? The Holy Spirit, the counselor, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Okay, so the Spirit had a purpose, was going to be given to these men for what reason? To teach and to remind. All right, now go to John 16, all right, chapter 16. And that won't be hard to find. It's just turn right. And if you have trouble with turning right, ask John, Catherine. Okay, John 16. Look at verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak on his own. Now, this is important. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. All right. So now you've heard three things. Three things that the Holy Spirit, and it's not everything, right? We're limiting it for this study. There's lots of other stuff to discuss. But what was the Holy Spirit sent to these men to do? Teach, remind, and guide. All right, very good. Now go to Ephesians chapter 3. Because Paul, now that's Jesus talking to Peter, James, John, those fellas. Paul, becoming an apostle after them, has the same experience. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. Make sure everybody gets there. Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to start reading in verse 2. And he's going to use words that we've not discussed a lot in here. We're not going to get into each one of those words, but I want you to see the overall statement. Surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation. As I have already written briefly, in reading this you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. Now, let's put those two verses together. Put all of those verses together. Jesus said that the Spirit would come. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God, the Spirit would come and would do three things. What are those things? Teach and remind and guide. All right, now, in Ephesians 3, Paul, referring to the same thing, said he received the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of Christ, which is the gospel. But the mystery, he received it how? By revelation, okay? It was by revelation. The Spirit revealed it to him. It wasn't his unique insight. It wasn't advice from somebody else. It wasn't he read this good book. No, he got it from God. Revelation did what? He'll say it. He revealed to me. And what did he do with it? He wrote it so we could read it and then understand it. Now there's lots and lots of thoughts and things to discuss here, but here's the principle. Here's the principle. The reason it's important, and when Peter makes a point in 2 Peter saying, I was an eyewitness, that when he writes this down, and he's writing it in 2 Peter to remind them, so he's using written words to tell them what to remember, right? He's not making up new stuff. He's telling them, I was taught this by the Spirit. I was reminded of this by the Spirit. I was guided to do this by the Spirit. And what did Paul do? What did Peter do? What did James and John and anybody else that ever wrote do? The Spirit revealed the word to them and they wrote it down so it could be read. So then they could understand. Now one more verse, and then we're off and running. I want you to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now this is written by Paul, and it's teaching a immature group of people how to discover, how to understand, how to find the will of God. All right? Now look in 14:37, and you read it so you know I'm not making it up. If anyone is a prophet or thinks he's a prophet and or thinks he's spiritual, right? Now, those of us who've been in church all of our lives, have we ever been anywhere where we or anybody we've known struggled with this deal that we got so spiritual? What does I heard a guy say one time? He became so heavenly minded he was no earthly good. I have watched it in my life. I've watched it in the lives of other people who study a lot of scriptures. They begin to think they're spiritual, and because they think they're spiritual, what happens? And you can reveal it in your own heart, or you can just take a shot at somebody without mentioning their name. What happens when somebody gets more spiritual than everybody else? And you understand how I'm using the phrase. What happens when we get more spiritual than everybody else? What happens when I become more spiritual than everybody around me? What happens when we get to thinking we're closer to God than anybody? All right, we start to judge other people because they're not quite up to our stature with the Lord. What else? We become exclusive. Well, our pride separates us. What does it do to our seeking of and responding to God's will? I'm interested to see what your reaction is to that question. Because I've seen this one is more dangerous. It's horrible to separate yourself. It's horrible to feel better than anybody else because we're not better than anybody else. But that happens even if you get a new car, right? That happens if you got a brand new pair of blue jeans when you show up to school on Friday. So that happens. That's pride. What happens to somebody who gets very spiritual? All right, you begin to play the spiritual police. That person's not as spiritual as I am. They don't understand what I understand. Candy? Aaron and I were in a Bible study in a place where that kind of attitude was sometimes fostered. And Aaron had asked me to come teach a group of his friends, and we were together, and I said, if you've got your Bible, turn to. And what'd the kids say? I don't need my Bible. He had read it. And he was just a little bit smarter, a little bit more spiritual than everybody else. Here's what happens to us. We begin to rely on, and listen to my words, we begin to rely on insights. We begin to rely on intuitions. We begin to rely on ourselves, our experiences. our own understanding instead of the written word. Now, does God give us wisdom? Does God promise insight? Still haven't found that place where he gives intuition, but we'll work on that, all right? Now, but can I rely on that insight? Can I rely on that, those experiences? Can I rely on those impressions apart from what's written down in the Word of God? No, that's what Peter, I'm sorry? Well, there you go. You can. In fact, that's what Paul and Peter are trying to address. If you think you're spiritual, what should you do? What does Paul say do in 1 Corinthians 14:37? Listen to Jesus. That's right. He says, I want you to pay attention. I want you to know this, that the things written are the commandments of the Lord. You want to know what the commandments of the Lord are? You want to know what the Holy Spirit guided those men to say or to know? Do you want to know what the Spirit revealed to those men about the mystery of God? Read what they wrote, and you will understand. Now, it is incredibly important in this place that we remember that. How many of us, came out of circumstances, messes is a plainer way to say it, that we got into because we started listening to and trusting our own urges, impulses, insights? Yeah, a bunch of us did that. So what we've got to do is make sure that we don't ever become disconnected from what is written, because that's the word that's more certain than the prophets, because it was spoken by the one that spoke on that holy mountain to listen to him. So if I'm going to listen to Jesus, how am I going to listen to Jesus? According to what Paul said, according to what Peter said, how am I going to listen to Jesus? I've got to pay attention to his word. There is no revelation of God that comes from any place else other than the Word of God. Now somebody says, yeah, but God revealed himself in creation. Yes, he did. But you know how you know that? God told you that. Well, the Holy Spirit revealed things to people. You know how you know that? The Word told you that. So the beginning of our understanding, the beginning of our acceptance of the will of God starts where? With our reading, our understanding, the Word of God. There's something else I was going to mention here. Oh, I was having a Friday, that's why it was fresh in my mind. Friday was, I got to teach the AIM students, and we were talking about teaching somebody how to become a Christian and talk to them about following Jesus. And we were covering that place that says, listen to him. And I remember teaching a lady in Ohio. Her name was Mickey. She had two girls. They rode on the little joy buses that came to church. And I'd knocked on her door and asked her if she'd like to know what we were teaching her kids. And man, she was very interested. So we sat down at her kitchen table with my Bible and my silent partner, and we started teaching her. And we got to the place where it says, this is my beloved son whom I love. Listen to him. And I said, Mickey, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? And she said, oh, yes. And I said, what's the one thing God wants you to do if you believe he's the Son of God? And she said, listen to him. And I said, Mickey, are you willing to listen to Jesus? And you know what she said? Yes. That's what I've been wanting to do. I've been trying to. All these years I've been trying to find out, what does Jesus want me to do? But then she asked the question, well, how do I find his word? How do I find what Jesus says? What? There are people in America that don't know where to find the words of Jesus? Yeah, how about in Lubbock, Texas? How about next door to you, maybe? And so I showed her some of these verses. And you know what she understood? That if you want to find the commandments of the Lord, if you want to find the will of God, if you want to find the words of God, where do you find them? In the things that are written. The Spirit revealed them, and those eyewitnesses spoke them to people, And then they wrote them down so folks like us could read them and understand them. I want us to remember that. Because the day's going to come when you're frustrated and you want to do what you want to do. And you're going to reason. I know the Bible says this, but let's hold on to that word. Let's seek His will and His wisdom from His word. All right. Now look in the, go back to 2 Peter. Go back to 2 Peter. Look at, well, he wants us to pay attention to it. You see that? That word that's made more certain? He wants us to pay attention. Who does he want us to pay attention to? Okay, yeah, that's right. You're right. But look at the pronoun. To it. What is it? The word that's been made more certain. That he witnessed on the mount, that he then wrote, inspired by the Spirit, so we could read it. Pay attention to it. How much should you pay attention to it? How much should you pay attention to it? Like a light shining in the darkness, I heard somebody say. How big a deal is a light shining in the darkness? In my house, it's a big deal because I have a wife who loves to find treasures and to redo treasures, and she builds them in the middle of the living room, builds them in the middle of the bedroom, builds them in front of every doorway that leads to any bathroom. And guess what happens at night? I find them. Yes. The last little deal we had was, we have one little sidewalk that goes out to our back gate, which leads to our dumpster. It's late one night. I noticed the trash is full, and I thought, instead of waiting until in the morning, I'm just going to go ahead and get it. We've got one of those lights. If you walk out, it turns on. It's really cool. The only problem is it's behind you, and you can't see the gate from there, but it's a sidewalk. So how hard is it to walk in a straight line to the sidewalk, to open the gate, and just walk till you hit the dumpster and dump your trash? I've done it a jillion times, except we found a treasure. And it needed to be spray painted in the middle of the sidewalk. And it was about this high, just below knee level, painted black. I found it and praised the Lord. Well, there was something going on. I don't know if the Lord was accepting it, though. I'm telling you, how much do you crave light? Light in a dark place, guys, that's how we look at the Word. That's how we look at His words. That's how we look at the Word that's revealed by the Spirit. That's how we look at the wisdom that came from God. That's how we look at these truths that came from God. That's how we look at His commandments. They're like a light to us. Have they helped you? Have they helped you find your way through dark places, out of dark places? Catherine was just talking about that. It helped me get out of some dark places. Did it help you? Yes, it helped us. It's a light in a dark place. Let's don't take our eyes off of it. Now keep reading. He says, and you pay attention to that light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Now that's an illustration. What's the illustration? What's it supposed to make you understand? Illustrations are meant to make you respond. How does it feel when the day dawns and the morning star rises? And if you've had some nights, like some of us have had some nights, what does it mean when you see that morning star and the day dawns? Well, I'm glad that night's over. It's a new day. And that takes place in our hearts. I'm not for sure you couldn't imply here that he's talking about, you pay attention to the Word and Jesus Himself rises in your heart. And His words are directing you all day long. Above all, he said, you got to understand that no prophecy of Scripture came by prophet's interpretation. Folks, I remember studying this in school, and this point was never made, but I see it in us, and that's why I wanted us to discuss it. You don't learn God's will from your perspective. You don't learn God's will from your experiences. Prophecy never had, look at the phrase, never had its origin in the will of man. So what's implied? Where does prophecy come from? Where does the word made more certain come from? Where do the commandments of God come from? Where do the wisdom of God come from? Where does the gospel of Jesus come from? From the will of God. That's why we've got to be careful, 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 and make sure that we root everything back in His Word. But root everything back in His Word. So we root in those truths that are revealed to us by God, written down by God, read so we can read them and understand what God wants us to know. And hold on to those things as they grow in us, as we get wisdom and as we develop understanding, as we gain insight. Didn't say intuition, insight. But as we grow, we've got to make sure we stay rooted in His Word, because in the Word, that Word reveals it's the will of God. It's the will of God, not the will of man. I thought it'd be a good exercise, and we won't take the time this morning, but I thought it'd be a good exercise for us to really discuss one of the things that we've accepted in our culture or in our churches or in our family traditions, things that we've accepted that we believe are acceptable to God, but it's not based on the will of God, it's based on our understandings, our desires, our own wills. Anybody want to give me one? Let me give you one I thought of. There were too many that crashed into my head at one time. Let me pull the one up. The girl looked at me and said, I'm leaving my husband and my three children. I asked her why. She said, the Holy Spirit led me to. I said, I'm sorry. She said, yes, the Holy Spirit led me to leave my husband and my three children. I said, I'm puzzled. I don't understand. Can you explain to me? I'm not fussing with you. I just want to understand what your thinking was. And she said, I know in my heart that God wants me to be happy. He created me to be happy. And I'm not happy in this marriage. And I'm not happy with these children. So I know it is God speaking. It's the Spirit leading me to leave my husband. Your response. Ding, ding, ding. Flashing lights. Horns blowing. Tires screeching, gears grinded. No, no. Where's it coming from, y'all? And we can say it comes from Satan. Where's it coming from? Her own heart. And what's going on in her heart? Now think it through. Don't get mean. What's going on in her heart? Horrible misery. And I don't know what the family was like. I don't know what the home was like. But this woman is so broken and so hurt that she's creating this. Where did she get it? She got it out of her own experience. She got it out of her own feelings. She got it out of her own insights. The truth is, rooted in the Word of God? No, the Spirit would not lead you to do that. You know how I know? Because the Spirit revealed in His Word, that's not the will of God. Does that make sense? So those kind of things, are things we have to address. We are bombarded every day by impulses that come from within us. We are bombarded by experiences from our own lives, our own experiences have given us all these stories that we use to prove things and to justify things and to ignore other things. We are bombarded not only by those that come from inside us, that we're bombarded with those things that come from other people. And you will hear people say things about God. You will hear things people say things about church. You will hear things say people say things about Jesus. And it has no root in God's Word. But because you can't answer it, you think, well, maybe they're right. And we're bombarded by those things, not only from the inside, but outside. And God help us, please. Sometimes somebody who is very good to us, very kind to us, very loving to us, says, ooh, I'd like for you to read this book. Now, if you've given me a book lately, I'm not talking about you. Bob gives me books that are good books. But you can be given a book sometimes that reads easy, that makes sense, and is dead wrong. You got to get rooted back in His Word, back in what God revealed to those men, those eyewitnesses, back into that Word that's more certain than the prophets, back into those words that reveal what His wisdom is and what His will is. I don't know you like Peter knew those people. I can't speak with the same authority of inspiration that Peter did here, because he's filled with the Spirit here, directed by the Spirit here, led by the Spirit here, guided by the Spirit here. But I believe, just like he says in verse 12, that you know these things and are firmly established in the truth that you have. I've got no doubt about that. I'm fully convinced of that. But one more time I want us to remember. One more time I want us to refresh our memories. One more time I want us to hold on to these simple, elementary truths. We want to know the will of God. We want to know the wisdom of God. We want to know the commandments of God. We want to know the promises of God. We want to know the nature of God. Where do we find it? In these words, let's pay attention to it like a light shining in the darkness. And every day look forward to the day that the morning dawn, that morning star, will rise in our hearts.